Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
You've got a fan club there, mate.
Just raise your hands just a minute, just before as we continue. Father, I thank you, not by might nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf. You open, Father, our spiritual understanding so we can see, but also what we can hear what you're saying today. And Father, we just thank you for that touch point of your word, your spirit and your word working together in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to get straight into it today. 1 John 1, I'm just going to do verse 5. This is from the New Living Translation. This is the message that he has given to announce to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Just say to your friend, at all. God is light. He's absolutely pure. Impossible to defile. As light, God is eternal. He is the everlasting one. And he lives in an unapproachable light, so brilliant that no one has ever seen him or could see him as he is. It's great to be on the winning side, isn't it? Now listen to this. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Not will be, but is. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. But Jesus is the exact representation. Anytime we hear, anytime we see the life of God, every time we see what Jesus has accomplished, it's an amazing thing because it's like the Godhead all working in that perfect unity together. Jesus is the light. Thank you, Jesus. His words are words of light. His spirit is the spirit who brings light. And as his holy children, he has called us and set us apart to belong to the kingdom of light. The enemy has a dominion. He doesn't have a king. Because Jesus is the king. Amen. If our hearts are full of light, our thoughts will be, our motives, our intentions, the words, our actions will be full of light. As we move into just going through like a journey of scriptures in a few minutes, they're not there to make us uncomfortable, but Jesus wants to speak these words to us again because he wants to break any hold that the enemy has in any way in our lives. Because he loved us and set us free on the cross to be totally liberated from the works of darkness. So the heart behind this is not condemnation. It's not guilt or shame because Jesus broke those on the cross. We don't carry those anymore because Jesus carried them. He disarmed the principalities and powers. So when we go through these now, I just want you just to hear the one Jesus speaking these actual words to us as we go through. Jesus says, "The eye is the light of the body. We are to keep our eye single, fixed on him." What does that mean? We fix our thoughts. So we bring our thoughts under the lordship of Jesus Christ. If anything exalts itself above the knowledge of God, we bring that down. We have divine weapons of warfare in our hands to demolish every argument that exalts itself above God's word. But we bring our lives under the words of Jesus. We fix our thoughts on him. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is good, whatever is wonderful. Do you know who's wonderful? Jesus is wonderful. Do you know Jesus is praiseworthy? Jesus is worth thinking about, speaking about. You know, in your mind, you know, God doesn't have, mind you, in a sense, having your mind filled with his thoughts. Because we're to be transformed, aren't we, in our thinking and our understanding. So we fix our thoughts on Jesus. This is a difficult one. We fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, the cat's just been hit or whatever, you know, the mum's just fallen out of a wheelchair or whatever, you know, in my life or what, you know what I mean? Stuff happens. It's difficult sometimes in the stuff of life to fix our eyes. But we've got to stay in that place in our hearts where we're not going to get swayed to the left or to the right. Where we fix, we keep our gaze. I love it in heaven. I love the sound of heaven and the glory and the power and the majesty. And I love what when you see every eye. There was not a single eye that was looking. There was no one with their back to God. There was no one sitting there doing up their shoes and wondering which is going to be a bad service today in heaven. Because every eye was looking at him. The lamb that was slain. The attention was upon him. The glory was for him to give. Amen. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. See, the enemy wants us to keep our eyes on ourselves or upon our circumstances. To have double spiritual vision is dangerous. So we need to be careful how we use our eyes. This is Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the left or the right, but keep your foot from evil. How are you walking today? How are you walking today? What's happening in your life? Now, there's a translation in the message here, and I think this is brilliant. Verse 25, it says, keep your eyes straight ahead. I love this. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Amen. So there you are, you're walking with Jesus. I was going to use the terminology, but I think, you know what I mean? When you've gone on a massive, you know, you've been out with your wife, you know, for 4 hours. You know what I mean? You've done shopping for 4 hours and Jesus has graced you for that. Do you know what I mean? Jesus is like, whoo, you love your wife. It's like, oh, Jesus. And then you come round the corner and there's a Christmas market there, you know? And at the back of your mind, it's going to take you 5 minutes to get from this point here to there. And you're walking and then you're walking and what happens? Oh, no, we're distracted. We're distracted. 2 hours later, I only wanted to get to my car. I've now got to spend 2 hours in a Christmas market. All the blokes, no, we've never been there, Gary. We've never done that, have we? There's nothing wrong with Christmas markets. But the object here is, see, one of the enemy's tactics is not always destruction, but distraction. He will use every distraction to keep us from the mission and the purpose that God has got in our lives. See, the enemy's not worried in a sense. You know what I mean? If he can, you know, we're on this journey. What's this journey? You know, this journey for us and the first fantastic thing, 5,000 households. 5,000 households. The kingdom of God being demonstrated. The kingdom of God being revealed in this area. People saved, gloriously saved. The enemy doesn't mind, you see what I mean, to distract us off of the purpose of God. But you see, God wants to pull our vision back to what he's spoken, what he's said. This is where it starts to get a little bit personal now, in a sense, for the reality. We live in a realm, in a sense, out there when, and this is, I'm not being negative towards our nation, it's just a spiritual climate. What is vile is honoured. Yes. But we're going to see the turning of the tide of that in this country. Amen. Psalm 101, verse 3, David says, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Amen. What's happened there? For David. Now, I know we all know. Isn't it funny? We all remember each other for our mistakes. But David had a heart after God. We know that at one point in time he messed up, you know, and his eye, because his eye wasn't fixed on God's purposes, and he was in the palace, and he looked at Bathsheba. I know, but you see, there was consequences for that. What happened in that? Because his mind had become double visioned. God wanted him out in the battlefield and out where the troops were. But one little mistake. We always remember our mistakes. And unfortunately, the enemy tries to tell us about our mistakes. But God forgives us for our mistakes. He cleanses us. But he doesn't want us to go back to the same thing and repeat that again. I don't want pain and consequence to be my teacher and my lesson learner. I want to be led by the Spirit and led by the Word. I want to live and walk as God has asked me to walk. But what was happening there? See, the constitution of his heart. See, he'd made a decision. All the decisions that we make come out of the motive and the intent of our heart. I won't set my eye on anything that's not good. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go there. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He has a clean hands and a pure heart. So I'm just going to say this now, and there's absolutely no condemnation. It is unwise to expose ourselves to sexually explicit images or violent or horrific images in the belief that these will have no effect on us, even under the guise of recreation. The gaming market in this country, billions of pounds, billions of billions of pounds across the world, multi-billions of pounds. I wonder how many 17-year-olds to 35, 40-year-olds spend hours just consumed by killing games, war or violence. No condemnation for that now. But you see, it's a strategy of the enemy to pull people's mind into things of darkness. Well, we're not to embrace those. We're not to look at stuff that we shouldn't do. Scripture tells us to flee from sexual immorality. Why? Because our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And now you're taking thoughts captive now as you're looking at my body, but it still is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm overweight. I know. Okay? Holy Spirit and the second voice and the Lord, I am a work in progress. Grace and mercy and forgiveness. It's okay. Doesn't mean that it's right. Okay, that's okay. It's not okay, but that isn't the subject of today. My wobbleness is not the subject of today. Why is it so? We've been bought with a price. Yes. That price is so powerful that Jesus. Basically, it cost Jesus everything. The very blood in his veins, that blood was shed. And that blood purchased you and me back for God. That's why, you see, you know, because we're bought with a price, we have to therefore honor God. We honor God with our bodies, our minds, our will, and our emotions. This is another thing that Jesus said. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Amen. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, I didn't write that. Jesus wrote that, or Jesus spoke that. It's not to bring us into condemnation. God does not call his children to live in a kind of a twilight. Can anybody just jump the lights just down, just for 30 seconds? Just the whole. Write down. We're not called to live in twilight, a mixture of light and darkness. Okay, back up. As people filled with light, our actions should reflect what we truly believe. Yeah? Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. I praise God that his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Your mercy is new every morning. But I still don't want to take the mick. I don't want to keep on sinning so I can just go back and receive your mercy again. I don't want to keep on sinning that grace may abound to me. But God has called us to live a life where we keep every area surrendered and submitted to him. And the most wonderful thing here, as you see, is God doesn't want us to be locked up in darkness. If we have looked at stuff, if we have gone onto websites, if we have done stuff like that, God isn't wanting to push shame or guilt on anybody today. He's saying, child, there's greater things for you. I'm calling you into who you are. You're a child of the light. You don't, you know, my God shall meet my need according to his glorious riches in Christ. You know, some of these things are counterfeit things because, you know, that we want something that we're not receiving from God. So we go to other places to try and find them. You know, people go into wrong observation and magazines and all the stuff like that. But it's, you see, we're looking for intimacy. We're looking for life for somewhere else. And God says, I'm your life. I'm your treasure. I'm your source. Don't go there. You don't need to do that. And yet, in his mercy, you know, where we do stumble and fall, you know, what's the heart behind that? It's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. You know, if any of us in our lives are in that position, you know, today is about putting that thing right with God. It's about going, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Cleanse me by the power of your blood. If we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because we're part of an army of light. We're part of a people that are called to live in who we are in Christ, to live out of and the nature of, in a sense, God's nature in us, but to reveal light to others. And what the enemy does, and we know this, he uses guilt and shame, and he'll keep people imprisoned in that guilt and shame, and he'll twist the noose, and he'll twist it to make it feel really bad. But today's the day as we break out of every guilt and shame, every area that the enemy has tried us with. Yes, but there has to be an acknowledgement, Lord, that your way is better than my way. There has to be a place in our hearts where we have to go, God, you know, what happened in David's thing? What happened in that Bathsheba thing? Just going back to there. What did he do? Against you, Lord, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. He didn't blame the situation. He didn't blame his, you know, his wife. He didn't blame his friends. He took responsibility. That has to look like something. When that looks like something, it's so. If he's God, so we've been going this way. I mean, we've been walking, you know, in a sense, out of his purposes. We've been walking in the dark, and God says, "Okay, now it's spin about time. Let's go now, God. Let's go my way." God says, "You know, don't get caught up in those things because those things, you know, the enemy will use them to be like a, you know, that scripture, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God doesn't want stuff in the inside us causing us pain, hurting other people, hurting the people we love. But on the cross, Jesus broke the power of those things and has set us free and liberated us free to be sons of the light, sons of God. And that is who we are. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Amen. Spiritual reality. We're living out of what he has accomplished. Okay. I found this one in Romans 13, verse 12. And this is in the Truth version. And this is great. It may seem that there is so much darkness around you, but a new day is about to break. Amen. Now, see, we can review that new day in two ways. There's a new day about to break. Things in the nation are getting hotter. Dark is getting darker, but light is getting lighter. Yeah? Now, listen now. This is straight from the Word of God. So be sure that you are free from any activity that belongs to the darkness, and that you are walking in the light. Be sure. You see, it is darkness to look on others with judgmental and critical attitudes. It's darkness when we hold unforgiveness towards anybody on this planet, let alone believers. No matter what people have done. The things of darkness are not changed by speaking about them, but by bringing the light of God's truth to bear upon them. Yeah? I love this one there. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants to prosper us mentally, emotionally, physically, strategically, in every area of our lives. To live in Christ is to live in the one who is light. It's an expansive place because he is so great, so mighty, so immense. In him there are no spiritual restrictions, nothing to hinder your walk with him. Living in him gives you boldness and confidence because you've been given authority over every power of the enemy. See, we can't take the mickey. We can't flirt with the things of darkness, come into a prayer meeting and then take authority over an unclean spirit when we've been living in the place of receiving from an unclean spirit. That's hypocritical. Amen. God doesn't want that. No condemnation for that, but God doesn't want that. We weren't built for that. We were built to be children of light. We were built to be who God intended us to be. You know, in a sense, anything thrown off of our lives that will cloud our lives. You know, we're called to be a lamp unto a hill, a lamp in our road, a light to our street so everybody can see. You see, God, we don't want that negative stuff and the dark stuff because it robs us of our confidence. Okay, just you could put up a first picture here. This is a picture of who we are. Right? I want you to see that. Because, now I know, don't get really all heavy on me. What I want you to see is that every single person is needed in the body of Christ. We've got everything that we can for a life and godliness. God has given God's provision for our health to be soldiers of light. It's there. Imagine, you took that picture and 6 or 7 of the guys turned up for the parade one day. I haven't got a chance to put my armour on. And they were walking. You know what I mean? The leader of the centurion leader was, "Oi, lads, let me just have a little chat with you. We ain't going to do that. That's not a good battle plan." But you see, we're an army of light. See, we're in unity together. We're one church, many locations. One church, many locations. And as we spread out, one, we need to have the mind of God, the heart of God. We are shoulder to shoulder. We're walking in unity with one another. The next picture here. Next one. Oh, I love that one there. I love it. Do you remember when Pastor Clive spoke oil the shields? I praise God that I've got a shield. And the anointing, I had to keep the anointing and the oil rubbed in on my shield every single day. I had to keep that, because we're in the middle of a warfare. Jesus has won the war, but we're appropriating the victory of that war. And notice here, in a sense, is that at any moment, they were skilled at that what they're doing. Well, we need to be skilled in the spiritual things, as we put up our shield of faith. What I love about that is, it's not just the guys in the front there, but it's the whole body working together. So the arrows were going to come in. They were like, "Come on, lads, lock in tortoise formation or whatever it is. There's just a lock there, but we're going forward. But we're going forward covering each other's backs. We're not sitting there in a row and you've got the little short sword. We're not doing any of that anymore. But God's called us to be an army, an army of light. We use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing. 1 Thessalonians 5, okay. "For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and the night. So be on your guard not asleep like others. Stay alert and be sober. Night is the time for sleep, and for the time for people to get drunk. Now listen to this. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and of love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of salvation. We are people of light. We're protected by every provision that God has. We've got to be alert, in a sense. You know, one of Peter says, be alert of the devil's schemes. He's out there roaring like a lion. You know, he's got a big mouth and he's trying to, you know, speak and do stuff and speak it over. But we've got to live in a different way, like Jane said last week, because we have a different spirit. We are called to be part of the body of Christ. It's time for us to be an army of light. We are not going to put up with the enemy's rubbish any longer. Amen. See, on Tuesday the 19th of September, a local man was murdered here in Horsham. A couple of more than a, probably a couple of miles. It wasn't just another tragic story in the news. It wasn't just another national statistic. The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus comes for life. Amen. The body of Christ in Horsham, all the churches together, we are the restraining spiritual reality for what happens. If you took the church out of this nation, the Lord have mercy upon our souls. Praise God for governments. Praise God for people in authority. But they've all been given authority by only one person, and that's God. And we are not to criticize them or to speak negatively. We're to pray for them. But as the church, we have the spiritual weapons that we can actually use to break the power of the things that are trying to come in and be implemented in the spiritual realm. I'm not having death and murder as a place. I'm not having rape in a sense is like an opening, a porthole that the enemy wants to use. You know, all the stuff we know with the prayer stuff going around. We are closing every door. Excuse me. We're closing it. Do you remember what Pastor Clive spoke? Well, the Lord spoke to him. And it's just a reminder. Emergency, emergency. All hands on deck. People's lives are going down. The sea of darkness has overtaken them. People are drowning in their own sin, but many don't realize it. The power of death is overcoming them. They need rescuing. They need saving. Who will go? Who will respond? And that sound's just there. There, all the time. As an army of light, our commission from God is to come against the powers of darkness. We need to have this militant attitude towards the enemy, but not to be aggressive towards people. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you remember seeing the time when Jesus got upset a few times, didn't he? Went into the temple. It wasn't like that. It was the money changers. Turned all the stuff over. My house should be a house of prayer for all nations. What do you think you're doing? There was a fire there. See, for us, there's a militancy, not in our flesh, but God, because God has called us to stand against the things of darkness. I'm not putting up with that. And I don't need to put up with it in my life. God is raising us up at this time to speak what he's speaking. Yeah. See, the next bit here is going to be quite challenging. There is a difference between those who are victims, but also those that cause these things. Yes. Now listen here. Jesus loved them both. The people that are in the deepest darkest, the people that are hurting. See, the cross was enough. When Jesus stood on the cross was enough. No more. Because he disarmed the principalities and powers. Jesus made a mockery of them. You see, all of the victims. But Jesus loved both groups. God reminded me of the words of an old hymn. It's going back to my Anglican days here. To God be the glory, great things he has done, and great are rejoicing in Jesus. Do you remember that one? Yes. Someone's going, no, no, no. There's a couple of words in there on the verse. This is what they are. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. God said to me, Gary, you've got a problem with one word, haven't you, with that? And the word's vilest. You see? Because that offends the mercy of God. It can offend. I'm not saying, you know, obviously we need the police. We need all of the services. People, if people do things wrong, yes, they need to, you know, there needs to be justice. There needs to, people need to protect him. But even a prisoner in the darkest places of prison who's committed the most vile thing, and Jesus comes into his life and goes, I forgive you, son. Yeah. There may be consequences of that, but I forgive you, son. Your name's now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. God has purchased our freedom with his blood, and he has forgiven us all our sins. We're not going to stand, you know, like people holding stones that people have committed something. I saw something the other day where someone was kind of got caught out in something, and the film unit was there, and these guys, and yes, okay, I get the whole thing that they saved you know, a child from being hurt. But in my heart, I was going, Jesus, have mercy upon his soul, Father, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let your light shine in his light, God. Let your light. Do you see what I'm saying? It's an attitude. Yeah. We're not to judge.
That's right.
You know, the broken and those that, you know, a lot of people are broken. I'm not saying we're justifying sin or, you know, taking away from the fact that people have a choice, and every choice, you know, there's a consequences of that choice. But at the end of the day, for the grace of God go I. Amen. For the mercy of God in my own life, that God saved me. You know, save me from terrible things and things that I've done. Can I have the band up, please? Cheers. Thank you. We don't judge the perpetrators of deepest darkness. We come against the principalities that are doing it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 149. Verse 6. Now, it's funny, we kind of had it in the prayer meeting this morning as we were praying out. Pete kind of touched it like a little bit prophetically. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. God has given us, in a sense, an amazing opportunity. That as we praise God, as those high praises of God come out of our mouth, the devil hates praise. Thank you. The devil hates praise. And we have a two-edged sword in our hand. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. See, God inhabits the praises of his people. I want to show you something now. I've borrowed a sword from Pastor Clive. And we have talked about health and safety this morning, so we are going to put it away afterwards. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to show you something now, and you need to watch this. Okay? One side... Oh, it's heavy. It's me workout this morning. One side of this, so go for this side. One side of the sword here, the sharpness of the sword here represents the prophetic, the utterance, the rhema word of God, that God speaks to us here. And as he speaks that word, he speaks it right into our spirit man. So one side is what he gives, and you know, it's powerful and it's sharp. And on the other side of this sword is what we speak and what we declare. You see, it's a double-edged sword. And I'll show you this, you see. This is really fun now in the spiritual warfare and as we pray. God speaking. Vroom. We speak. Vroom. God speaks. We speak. Amen. Mighty weapons. God speaking. You know, we take authority over something. It's interesting, you think of Jesus in the, you know, in the desert. His greatest moment, but his greatest test in everything. What does he do? The Father speaks to him. It is written. God speaks. It is written. Powerful. Powerful. But you see, this is only good if it's placed here. It's only good, really, when it's in the heart. It's not good to keep it down here. Do you want to see that, yeah? So there's a double-edged sword that God wants to release. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about we hear from God and we speak what God is speaking. We hear from God and we speak and declare. We hear from God and we decree what God is speaking. And we are not having. It's a royal we because it's us here and it's the Lord. We are not having death, suicide in our town. We cut that thing off, amen. And we're going to do that at some time in a minute. You speak. See, God is raising us up at this time to speak what he's speaking, contrary to what the world is showing. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Psalm 45. We're nearly there, guys. Psalm 45. Gird up your sword upon your side, O mighty one. Clothe yourself with the splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand display awesome deeds. God is going to display awesome deeds through the body of Christ. We had a team sort of couple of days together a few weeks ago. And Psalm 118, verse 15 and 16, just really, God, as we were, Pastor Clive was as praying as we were speaking, God said, I'm going to use kingdom faith. And this isn't arrogant. I'm going to use kingdom faith to be the voice of victory. But in this one, it says, hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. See, from the time of John the Baptist began to preach until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing on earth by power. Now listen, and forceful men are taking hold of that. We are not. It's not a forcefulness of the flesh, but we are walking in our true identity and who we are, and we are laying hold. Amen. Let's just stand, shall we? We're going to do a little bit of business, first of all. Let's stand. One of the things I really felt is two aspects of today. In James, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does it mean to submit to God? It means that we bring our lives in order every single day. We bring our lives under the reign of God every single day. And for any of us here today, where you know in your heart you've been entangled. The word says, throw off everything that entangles you. The sin that so easily entangles you. If you've been entangled to stuff, if you've watched stuff you shouldn't have done, if your attitude has been negative, you know, and what you've said about others, we need to ask for forgiveness for that right now. There's not a single person in this room that hasn't fallen short of the glory of God. But we need to ask forgiveness. If God has anything in your life that God has brought attention to, This isn't about coming and just hearing a message. This is about implementing this message every day of our lives. We surrender to God every day. We bring our lives under the Lordship. We're bringing His alignment into. So right now, and we're not going to have anybody forward. We're not going to do that. But what I'd like every one of us to do, you see, we want to lift our arms in mercy. We want to lift our arms to the Lord of mercy. So just lift your arms towards Him now. And just appropriate now forgiveness. Jesus, against You I've sinned and done what is evil in Your sight. Jesus, please forgive me. I've looked at stuff that's caused torment now in my soul. It's caused me to, you know, is to be, in a sense, hooked into a realm of shame and guilt. And Lord Jesus, I ask You right now for the blood of Jesus and the mercy, Father, of Your gracious hands to forgive me. And Lord God, I choose to repent from that stuff where I was going one way. And Father, I turn around. I have a heart change and a mind change. I turn around, Lord, and I walk in where You want me to walk. And Lord, I thank You that if You forgive me, Father, You are faithful and true right now. And Lord, I thank You, Father. And if there's anybody here today, any men or women, you know, you need to find this. You know, as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we're caught up in any stuff, go to, you know, if you're a bloke, go to another bloke. Bring, you know, a leader. Bring your lives into light, you know. And what's wonderful in that sense is that we can, you know, we don't need to walk around with shame and guilt and that, because that's got broken right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just appropriate the power of that blood now. Father, I thank You for the cleansing of that blood right now that shatters off, Father, every work of the enemy. Shatters it off in my life, Lord God. Lord, please forgive me that I haven't realized that I'm a child of Your glory and of Your life. Please forgive me that I haven't walked in the identity You want me to walk in. And Lord God, I thank You. I thank You that I'm a child of the kingdom. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child, Father of God. How great is the Father's love that He's lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. So right now what we're going to do, we're going to take authority. We're going to take authority. You take authority over everything, but I'm going to do it in a sense in a public way. But we're going to take authority over some stuff right now. If you need to speak to anyone at the end, you know, just, you know, your small group leader or whatever, you know, the word says, do not give the enemy a foothold. A foothold will become a stronghold. When a stronghold comes, you need someone else to stand with you to help break that thing, to walk in the light. Why? Because we're like those shoulders together. We are arm to arm, shield to shield, moving forward as one body, one church, many locations. The ultimate reality in that is, as these children of light, God has got at the end of this journey 5,000 other people that aren't in the room at this moment in time. Okay, thank You, Jesus. We're just going to exalt the name of Jesus above everything first. We're just going to exalt Him. Just to go for it.
Jesus. Jesus, You are. Jesus, You are. Jesus, You are.
So right now, submitted our lives to Him, found cleansing from the power of His blood that can only break that. Every guilt and shame is broken in the name of Jesus right now. That right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of death, every spirit of suicide, every unclean spirit, and I shatter your hold off of people's lives now. I break your power in the name of Jesus right now. Shatter that thing off right now. And I speak hope, and I speak life. In a minute, we're just gonna release just a shout of praise, a shout of praise, and then we're just gonna prophetically just break every chain. We're gonna see them broken off. We're gonna decree the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Every chain must break at the sound of your name, Jesus. 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 The enemy's soul must break at the sound of your name.
Just gonna call on the name of Jesus. We're gonna, with all of our hearts, things, doors being unlocked, things being broken off of people, friends and loved ones. We're gonna speak the name of Jesus. Every one of us like a shout of victory. Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus!
Jesus' name, every spirit of infirmity,
that shout of praise, keep praising Him. Clap your hands, all your nation. Praise Him, clap Him, worship Him. He's worthy this morning. He's worthy, He's worthy. He's worthy. Shakahaya, Yikiman no Bahai. Shake, shake, Labahai. Oh, so good. Destiny of our nation is not in the hands of the enemy. It's in the hands of the living God. And His bride, His beautiful bride, is an instrument to decree and to speak and to release those things. To say what God is saying. To hear the prophetic word and then to speak the prophetic word. Lord, I thank You that You've given us a double-edged sword into all of our hands. We're not victims, we're victors. Just thank God for that. Thank God for that. Right now, Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, the cross was the place where He took all of our punishment. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin was death. But this morning, if you don't know God, in your heart, God, I need You. I want to reach out to You. I know in my life there's things that, Lord, I'm far from You. But if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And Jesus, I call on You now. Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for everything. But Father, I'm coming to You now. And Lord, I thank You that You give. There's a divine exchange that's taking place. If you don't know Christ today and you want to know Him more, I just want to come up and, at the end and... speak to Dave or any one of the leaders up here or the team that we have for that. You see, we'll make eternal realities play out. Eternal things happen. Once we were in darkness, but now we live in His glorious light. God, I want to come out of darkness and I want to walk into You. I want to know You. And Lord, I thank You for the free gift. I haven't got to earn it. I just have to believe in You. I believe. But as I repent from my past, I thank You for that cleansing now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to hand back to Pastor Clive now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.